live here, you have a right to know. It's time to go in-depth with Ask the Governor on WTOP and WTOP.com. Now live with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, it's WTOP's Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
The phone number for you to call to join in on Ask the Governor this morning is 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com. We're also taking questions on WTOP's Facebook page or via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Here with the Governor now, WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
Governor, thanks for coming in. We appreciate you making the trip,
Mark.
Up every month. You were talking a little sports here before we got on.
I was.
And I know your team is doing better than my team. But let's talk about baseball, because everybody is fired up about the Nationals, headed into the postseason, still looking for a division championship. But there's some controversy surrounding the game, and that is Metro, whether or not Metro will stay open late to accommodate the late games. And if so, who should pay the $29,000 deposit for that? The team wants the city to pay for it. The city wants the team to pay for it. But last week, Mayor Gray said that this is actually a regional issue because of the fans coming from Maryland and Virginia, that this is actually a regional problem that should be addressed regionally. What are your thoughts about who should pay for Metro and whether or not Virginia bears any responsibility?
You sure you don't want to talk a little bit more about Notre Dame or Maryland football,
Mark? Welcome to the ACC, by the way, but we'll get to that.
Okay. No, Notre Dame is glad to be. We actually play four ACC teams already this year. It'll be one more next year. We've asked first of all, we're delighted that the Nationals are in the playoffs, and a huge chunk of the fan base, I think somewhere approaching half, comes from Virginia. We're cognizant of that, and we're delighted that Virginians are supporting the Nationals. We've asked our one representative on that board, Jim Dyke, to engage in discussions. It obviously is a money issue, an unplanned expense. I think it is a regional issue that I think can be worked out on that board. There are representatives of all the jurisdictions on that board, and we'll have to see what. I think we got a couple weeks before the playoffs actually start, and I'm pretty confident they can work something out. So I've asked them to engage and discuss, because we don't want anybody stranded. We do want to try every way possible to make sure Metro service is expanded to, because I think the games are at 8 o'clock or so. So there's going to be a lot of people getting back at 11, 12 o'clock, and we want to make sure that service is available to the maximum degree possible. So I can't tell you what the answer is now, other than I'm aware of it. And we want to support the Nationals, and we want to find a regional solution, and our representative, Mr. Dyke, is engaged.
Do you have any opinion about whether or not it should be something that jurisdictions like Virginia, D.C., and Maryland should pitch in to pay for, or if this is something that a private entity, because we know the Redskins, the Capitals, and just the other night with the Madonna concert, promoters of all these other events are actually picking up the tab. The Nationals and Major League Baseball seem to be the only ones who resist this.
Well, again, I'm not familiar with a lot of those details on how other venues. It would be nice if Madonna would pick up the tab for this. Maybe that's the solution, Mark. We'll find a solution. I think in the big scheme of things, there's broad regional interest in making sure our fan base is supported there. And perhaps if everybody is able to contribute a little bit, we can get this done. I can only tell you that I trust my representative, Mr. Dyke. We've given him some direction to negotiate in good faith with everybody else and find a resolution in the next 2 weeks.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell is here taking your questions on Ask the Governor.
It's Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Back to your hosts, Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
Here's the number to call if you have a question for the governor, 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us by going to WTOP.com. We're also taking your Twitter questions. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor, let's get right to the phones. Robert is calling from Alexandria. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Governor?
Hi, Robert.
I'm going to be real short. I understand that we can both agree that the toll roads are a little expensive. We can both agree that the people need jobs. And we can both agree that not everybody has a credit card. So why, if you don't have a credit card, you can't use the toll roads?
Robert, is there a particular toll you're using that's...
There's a lot of exits that are closed during certain times because it takes cash only. And then on weekends, there's a few exits you can't use. And it even has signs before you get on the toll road, must have credit card. I mean, I don't understand, if people need jobs, and why can't they take cash? They got, sometimes they do, but not everybody in Virginia has a credit card. It just doesn't seem like for the common folk of Virginia.
I can only assume that VDOT, or it could be, well, primarily VDOT regulating those roads, either because of trying to cut down on manpower or otherwise improve some sort of efficiencies that they are constructing those booths in such a way. I'll tell you, we'll take a look at that. I do know some of the new toll roads that are being evaluated in Virginia are going to be easy pass only. I think more and more people realize people are using those transponders to be able to pay their tolls. It's just more convenient for the customer in most of those cases as well, and you don't have to stop or slow down. But some of those exits, those do get a little dicey if you don't have the right tools and you're going through there. So I can't give you the full answer, but I will take a look at that. And maybe Mark can get back to you offline and give you a good answer for Robert.
Or tune in next month, and I'm sure you'll have the answer for us.
Okay.
Governor, while we're on tolls, there's a Senate race, you're aware.
Yes.
Mr. Kane and Mr. Allen. And Mr. Allen has come out opposing the increase or more tolls in Virginia, particularly downstate along 95 that you have planned. How do you? I mean, you obviously support Mr. Allen in his bid for the Senate. This is something you two disagree on.
Well, listen, I don't agree with all my friends all the time. This is the tolls, by the way, Mark, are on 95 were ones that were authorized by the General Assembly under Governor Kane that he signed. Back in, I believe, 2006 or so, when I ran, I said that one of the options we'd look at is a toll on 95. Virtually every northern state from Maryland to north has tolls on 95. We've got some real safety improvements that need to be made on 95. We've got some resurfacing, and there aren't any free lunches. And so this is a prudent user fee that can be used. North Carolina is also looking at. Both of these tolls are right near the border of Maryland, North Carolina, but we would use them solely in the quarter. I think that's reasonable. If you raise money on a road, you use it for improvements solely in that quarter. So listen, everybody's free to take their position, but if they've got an alternative plan and they want to provide more federal money to help us, then let's see it. But in the meantime, I'm not going to let these roads get out of repair and be unsafe, and we are going to find solutions. And this is one of the several tools that I have as governor that the General Assembly has provided me. And in this particular case, one that Governor Kane actually approved back about 4 or 5 years ago.
So when Governor Kane is on the stump and he says, this is an example of a Republican who doesn't want to raise taxes but wants to raise fees and money in other places, how do you respond to former Governor
Well,
Kane?
I can say, he approved the bill that authorized the tolls, and I'm fine using them. It is an appropriate user fee, and in several areas like 95 hot lanes, like the 495 hot lanes, like tolling near the border, like the several major transportation projects in Hampton Roads, we're using them. Here's why, Mark, is because we use the Public-Private Transportation Act, which is about 16 years old, which, by the way, Governor Allen is the architect of that, which contemplated tolls, I would say. I would simply say that these are prudent ways in order to leverage scarce state resources. The state in some of these projects puts up maybe 15 or 20%, and then the private sector puts up the remaining 75%, 80%, 85%, and we are able to build the road that we might not be able to build, but then there are tolls to pay. So listen, I understand that there may be different views now for candidates that are running about how to pay for these projects, but I'm going to get these things done. And listen, I think George Allen is the right candidate for governor. I'm strongly supporting Governor Allen. He's a fiscal conservative. He'll be a great United States senator.
You mentioned the hot lanes on 495, and people are, I mean, they look ready to go.
They're close.
So how close are they? What's the timeline?
We expect, from what I've heard from the private sector partner with the state, that we should have an opening within the next couple of months, which is terrific. I don't have the exact date yet, but I'm hoping it'll be sometime no later than November. And then, of course, we just broke ground 2 months ago on the 95 hot lanes, which is terrific, Mark, because you can't have what you don't want to have is you got Tyson's to the mixing bowl bun, and then it dumps into the same problem on 95 South. Eventually, those hot lanes will be done in the next couple of years as well, and we'll have additional lanes both ways in the major choke points in Northern Virginia. That'll be a big help.
And, you know, one of the problems that people are foreseeing with them is that you talk about choke points. the hot lanes will end at the Maryland line, at the Maryland-Virginia line when you cross over, and there was an anticipation that that will be a choke point because Maryland didn't add the hot lanes on their side of the border. Have there been any further discussions with Maryland about that, or do you have concerns about that being a problem?
Well, the lanes, the new lanes that are being constructed actually end at the mixing bowl, and then we'll go south from there. I think there are some existing lanes that are available for HOV already heading towards the Wilson Bridge. All I can say is I'm not aware of any additional discussions at this time. The bigger problem was, frankly, that because some of the Northern Virginia jurisdictions, Arlington in particular, that sued Governor Kaine and President Obama back three or four years ago over the hot lanes going from the 14th Street Bridge to the Mixing Bowl, that we were not able to complete those lanes there, which is a real disservice because the Mark Center and all that other traffic there, we really could have used those expanded lanes, but apparently they didn't want them there, so we're heading south, and it'll still be a big service to the region, but it would be nice to have those done throughout all the way to the D.C. border.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell taking your questions on Ask the Governor.
It's Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Live from the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center, your hosts Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Your chance to ask a question of the governor is now. Call us at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Tweet your question using the hashtag AskTheGov. You can also email us by going to WTOP.com.
That's right. Governor, let's talk about, let's stay on transportation and let's talk about the MWA board, the Regional Airports Authority. You had been in a big dispute about seating one of your nominees. This now looks like this has been resolved. Give us an update on the resolution of this and what this means going forward.
Well, Mark, for several years I've had concern about the performance of the MWA board, mainly on this issue, is whether or not they were making the right decisions for Virginians and whether or not they were exhibiting concern for the taxpayers and the toll payers that are going to have to fund the Silver Line and whether it was going to be done on time. That's what I'm concerned about, is efficiency, effectiveness, and cost control of that board. And there were many problems, as you know. We were able to cut down $1 billion of, I would believe, excessive costs from $3.8 to $2.8 billion. We were able to kill the PLA through legislation and other action that would have dramatically increased costs.
There was a project labor agreement. Absolutely. Mandated.
General Assembly passed the bill. MWA finally complied and voted with that. And so there are other challenges. Obviously, the new IG report by the Obama administration, very unfavorable about everything from travel expenses to internal cost controls to sole sourcing contracts and so forth. They've started to fix that, but I was very concerned about the performance of several board members, one in particular, Mr. Martyr, and I removed him 3 months ago, and they sued me. And amazingly, the governor of Virginia is able to control 5 out of the 13 members. And so I removed a member, which I believe I have clearly the authority to do under law, and we had a lawsuit. So after a couple of months of discussions, rather than having literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, of additional legal fees and waiting another 6 or 7 months for it to be resolved, we came to a resolution where Mr. Martyr will step down at the October meeting and my new appointee will go on.
And so then it'll just be full steam ahead as far as getting business done. This will all be behind us. Is that
well,
correct?
There's more challenges. First of all, we passed. President Obama signed a law to give Virginia 2 more appointees, and Maryland 1 and D.C. 1 in November. They still refuse to seat the Virginia board members. Now the good news is, working with Mayor Gray in D.C., we anticipate on October 2nd, D.C. will City Council will ratify that federal law. And then Virginia already did that effective July 1st. And so at the execution of that agreement then by Mayor Gray, after the council votes, I've been told October 2nd, then 2 more members will be able to go on from D.C., and then 1 from D.C., 1 from Maryland. And Mayor Gray has already made his announcement about the appointment, so I anticipate them going forward. So we're going to have a lot of new board members. The federal government is appointing 3 new board members. Those have been sent from the President to the United States Senate. So I think the new board members are going to be people, hopefully, that will be professional, that will be competent, that will have the best interests of the taxpayers around the region. in mind that won't be worried about lavish trips and some of these other things that have, I think, undermined the confidence that the public's got in that board. And that's all that we've ever wanted. You saw the letter that the three local leaders and Secretary LaHood sent to the board saying, hey, get your act together. Stop these excessive expenses. And I think the new executive director is very receptive to and very much understands the fact that we've got to make some improvements. So the answer is yes, full steam ahead. But there's still got to be some additional reforms, I think some additional cost controls to be sure that the taxpayers of Virginia interest are protected.
Let's get back to the phones. Tony has been on the line holding before you got here, Governor. Tony's from Alexandria. You're on with the governor. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Governor.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I was just wondering, you got rid of the BTRO board this year, and I guess we're going to the Department of Justice.
State police, I believe.
Yeah, I was just wondering why we need a background check and fingerprint every year.
This is for tow truck operators. This is the board that oversees tow truck operators.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, Tony, thanks for the call. What we did this year is Virginia has about 350 boards, and we evaluated those and made a recommendation for a number of them to be eliminated because it costs a lot of time, money, administration, and we try to find more cost-effective ways to do that. And so the General Assembly approved about 20, 25, I think, or so, for elimination. This was one of them, and the duties are simply folded back into an agency, and I believe the Department of State Police is responsible for it. There are a number of professions that we require background checks and fingerprints on. I think this was a public safety issue that particularly there might be the need for operations late at night, for instance, to tow a truck. You want to make sure that you've got people that that have been cleared with those minimum public safety credentials to be able to respond to the call. And I think that's what the state police have requested. I don't recall whether that was a requirement that the board had already self-imposed on members or not, but I think that's the reason it's in the interest of public safety.
Let's get a quick question in from Matt in Vienna. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, Governor. Good morning.
Hi, Matt.
A quick question for you. I sat in a gas station this weekend getting my car inspected. I'm 53 years old, and I've always been one of the good citizens, keeps his car up to speed. And it dawns on me, I sit in traffic every day at Tyson's Corner, and the traffic accidents I see are not caused by cars' faultiness because they're state-of-the-art today. If you think about cars, everything about a car today is just it's better than it's ever been. It's drivers on cell phones that are causing the accidents, not cars that are falling apart on the roads. Admittedly, back in the day, cars were the problem. And today, I don't drive through Tyson's once, I don't see an accident, and it almost appears that it's always drivers' inability to pay attention. Is there any way Virginia could ever look at what Maryland has done, have one inspection when you buy the car, and then perhaps instead of inspections,
Matt,
have a driver training class every
day? Matt, we're right up against the clock. We're going to go to traffic and weather. When we come back, we'll get your answer.
Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
We'll be going back to the phone soon to get your questions for the governor. 877-336-1035, the number to call if you have a question this morning for Governor McDonnell. 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com. You can also pose a question on WTOP's Facebook page or send in a tweet. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor, you were answering a question or about to answer a question about whether or not Virginia could do away with annual vehicle inspections.
It's been part of the protocols for a long time. There are any number of checks, as you know, that our people go through. And whether it's as much as a light being out or a brake light or something more serious, I think there's at least a general feeling among the policymakers in Virginia that it does contribute to public safety. I do agree with Mark's point that there are other things that cause accidents that have to do with driver inattention or those kinds of things. And we've got laws on that, reckless driving and proper driving and so forth already. But it's something to at least evaluate if Maryland and other states are going that way, if there's a less cumbersome way to ensure public safety without inconveniencing people once a year to sit in those lines and then we ought to look at it. But I think at this point, state police and others believe that it does contribute to public safety.
Let me ask you for an update on abortion clinics in Virginia. This has been something that's going back and forth. Now, new regulations that would be imposed on abortion clinics, particularly on mm-hmm. how their facilities must be maintained and what would qualify as an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. The Board of Health, I believe, just recently voted, reversed themselves and voted to approve the new regulations that are in place. Now there's a comment period and a review period for you, right? So can you walk us through what your next step is and when this may or sure. may not go into effect?
Yeah, the General Assembly in 2011, Mark, a year and a half ago, passed a law stating that these clinics had to be regulated essentially with hospital-level standards, and that regulations need to be promulgated. The initial regulations were actually adopted, adopted that didn't grandfather anybody, because there's not any basis really in the statute that passed to do so. And then the board previously changed its mind on a close vote and did put a grandfather clause in. And then finally, now at the final regulations that are coming my way, they voted 13-2, I think, last week. To put these regulations in place without grandfathering existing clinics. So now it goes to the Attorney General's office again for certification, to certify that it is in compliance with the law, and then there's a public comment period, and then comes to me for final action. So I assume I'll get those in the next couple months, and my goal is simply to see do they follow the law or not. The bill's already passed. I signed it a year and a half ago, and the only question is do they comply with the law now?
And the concerns that people have that this will put abortions, possibly every abortion clinic in Virginia, out of business?
Yeah, I certainly don't agree with that contention. You know, you hear that a lot when new regulations come down. I got a ton of regulations coming down from D.C., and I'm more concerned, frankly, about what I see happening from Washington with killing the energy industry and things like that. Those things really are devastating. I really do see people going out of business. So Alpha Natural just announced 1,200 jobs are being lost because of federal regulations last week. So those are real life examples. I think that these new regulations are going to contribute to the expense, but I haven't, at least from what I've been told by folks, really don't see that it's going to amount to clinics really closing. It's a cost issue.
And you were part of the Republican Platform Committee. You were the chairman of the Republican Platform Committee. Abortion was part of that platform and was one of the things that is front and center in the debate for the presidential race. And we see Todd Akin, who is running for re-election, had some comments about forcible rape. What are your thoughts? I mean, just about this whole conversation about, put them in silos, about the Republican platform and abortion in cases of rape or incest.
Well, first of all, I disagree with your premise of your question. It's not front and center. Some would like it to be front and center by trying to divert attention from the horrible Obama economy that this president's failed leadership has got us. Mark, this president didn't inherit the problem, but the issue in this race is not abortion or contraception or Mitt Romney's tax returns or Bain Capital. The issue in this election is how we're going to get the greatest country on earth out of debt and back to work. We are in deep trouble in America, and this president is a huge part of that problem. His policies have not been good for energy. He's added $6 trillion to the national debt. He's presided over 43 months in a row of 8%. That's embarrassing. The president has not enacted policies that are good for the economy. It's been more spending, more taxes, more debt, more regulation. And I think the people of the United States have to realize that it doesn't matter how many good speeches the president may give, his policies haven't worked. That's the issue in this race. Not the Republican or Democratic Platform Committee, not abortion, but it's that. This is the heart and soul of what people ought to vote on, and I think we need a change in leadership. Now, on the life issue, Mark, this is not a newsflash. Republicans are pro-life. We believe in the sanctity and dignity of human life. We believe it needs to be protected to the maximum degree possible in light of the law, and the law is the Constitution. The light is Roe v. Wade. That's the law right now. And the Democrats are the pro-choice party. I mean, this has been the case for a while. Most of what's in the Republican platform has been there for 30 years. There aren't any changes. We didn't take an opinion anyway. It's silent on the exception because those are things left to the states. They're left to the United States Congress if it were to pass a human life amendment. These are all issues there. All we simply did was affirm in pretty strong terms that we are the party that will protect innocent human life. That's been well known for a long time. Now, having said that, how are we going to get the country back to work? The president's policies have failed. We need a new president.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell here until 11 o'clock, taking your calls on Ask the Governor.
It's Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Live from the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center, your hosts Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Here's the phone number to call in, 877-336-1035, with your question for Governor Bob McDonnell this morning. You have until 11 o'clock, 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com or send a tweet. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor, you wanted to talk about presidential politics. Let's talk about Virgil Goode, who is running. He'll be on the ballot, it looks like, in Virginia. What does that do to Mitt Romney's chances in Virginia?
Nothing. Virgil is a good man. I served with him in the Virginia Senate. He was one of those bold guys that went from Democratic to the Democratic Party to the Republican Party because he felt like they'd left him, and I think that's right. But at the end of the day, he's just not going to be a factor. He's getting a small percentage. I think that even declines more because people realize this is a two-person race. It's between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and for a conservative, voting for Virgil Goode really is a vote for Barack Obama. Virgil's not going to win. He's a good guy, and he speaks strongly about the Constitution. But this is between two people. And if people want to see Barack Obama replaced, they need to vote for Mitt Romney, or they're really wasting their vote.
But you know, and you've said, you know, Virginia went for Obama by 7, went for you by 18.
Right.
It's a close race in Virginia. Virginia will be a pivotal state. In
true.
This. Virgil Goode takes 1% away from Mitt Romney. I mean, that's serious, don't you believe?
Well, I think by the time, I mean, the polls are what they are now, Mark, but I think by the end of the day, when that voter goes into the booth and say, okay, do I want to just throw this protest vote away, or do I really want to have a change in America? And there's only one way to do that, and that's a vote for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is solid on the Constitution. He's a limited government, fiscal conservative. He embraces traditional values. That's why people are getting behind him. That's why I think I've seen a better grassroots effort this year in Virginia. Certainly better than 08, maybe better than 09 when I ran, when I started to see some people come out in big numbers to help us. But we're incredibly well organized. We're much better funded. And so I see a lot of enthusiasm that I didn't see 4 years ago for our team. And so I think that's going to affect those people now that are thinking about maybe a protest vote for Virgil Goode. They realize that's essentially a wasted vote. It's not going to replace Barack Obama. If they want a change in America, and they want somebody who understands jobs and limited government and energy and getting us out of debt and really making a difference in the future of our country, that vote's for Mitt Romney.
Let me ask you about voting in Virginia as far as early and absentee voting. When can people start voting in Virginia? And then let's talk a little bit about voter ID and what people need to do. What will be different about going to the polls this year than in the past?
Sure. Virginia is not an early voting state like others where you actually can vote for any reason. We have about 14 statutory reasons, I believe, where absentee ballot voting is permitted, like you're out of country or you got jury duty or you're working more than 11 hours a day or something. If you ascertain and state under oath that you're not going to be able to vote because of one of those reasons, then you can vote early either in person or by an absentee ballot. Military is probably the biggest group that votes that way. And those ballots were mailed. Some of those ballots or applications were mailed out 45 days in advance. So that process has already started now. The new voter laws, and I hope Virginians have seen that, we passed a new law that requires you to bring an identification to the polls. It's not photo ID. There's been some misconception about that. We actually expanded, Mark, this year, the number of pieces of identification. It can be any government-issued ID, a Social Security card. It can be an electricity bill that shows you actually who you are and you live where you say you live to verify who you are. So you need to bring that to the polls. If you don't, then you'll be able to cast a provisional ballot, and you'll have till Friday after the election at noon to bring back or even fax back that proof of identity. Where I mailed out within the last week, Mark, or I should say our State Board of Elections mailed out at my direction through an executive order a new voter ID card to every registered voter in Virginia. So look for that. Nobody should have an excuse they don't have an ID card. We just mailed them all, and we're doing a rather extensive voter ID campaign all over the state to remind people of this obligation. I think it's everybody's got a constitutional right to vote, but everybody's got some burden to be responsible, and that is to make sure we have clean elections, and the easy way you do that is show an ID.
Let me ask you on another topic, something that we ask about every month, and that is unemployment numbers in Virginia. How is the fight to get Virginia's back to work going for you right now?
Well, this is the biggest priority, I think, for every governor in America is we take a personal responsibility in making our states as business-friendly as they can be to attract employers. Virginia's at 5.9%, which is better than Maryland's 7.1%. That's one of the biggest gaps we've seen in many, many years. That's because we've adopted a policy. We want taxes and regulation and litigation to stay low. We're very aggressive when it comes to incentives. We attract business. And, Mark, in Virginia, we celebrate success. We don't do what President Obama does and says, hey, if you have a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. You know, I have a different view. So does Mitt Romney.
You know, Governor, that
no,
the
don't try, don't make it. No, he
clarified
all day long, Mark.
You don't believe that that was taken out of context in the same way that the Bain commercial saying that Bain was responsible for a woman dying of cancer was completely taken out of context.
No, that was not only out of context, that was morally wrong. That was shameful, and the president never condemned a super PAC saying that. The president, I can tell you by the policies that I've seen to us in Virginia, and the taxes and regulation he's layered on our Virginia residents, the out-of-control EPA that is literally undermining the nuclear energy, the coal and the natural gas industry. 1,200 jobs just laid off by Alpha Natural, the second largest coal company in America, based in Virginia. Yes, I see this administration that doesn't get it when it comes to job creation. Their answer is more taxes and more undermining small businesses, 900,000 of them that are going to get tax increases under Obamacare. Yeah, I see that we're doing pretty well in Virginia relatively, and it's, I think, Republican governors like me and others are doing things that are recruiting business and celebrating success, and a lot of us have foreign trade trips that are working, Mark.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell on Ask the Governor.
Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Final minutes of Ask the Governor. Time to get your question in at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Or tweet us using the hashtag AskTheGov.
Let's get back to the phones. Maureen, you're in Fairfax. Go ahead. You're on with the Governor.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. I'm in my early 60s. I am unemployed. I have no major medical insurance. I cannot afford COBRA. I am in need of a medical screening procedure that costs $3,000 to determine if there's a more serious problem or not. I have no savings remaining. I've been unemployed for 6 months. I do not qualify for Medicaid under Virginia statutory laws, and I am too young for Medicare. When I lived in Massachusetts, temporarily a few years ago, I was immediately eligible under Romney's plan for excellent, seamless coverage. I'm a native Virginia. I have now returned home to live, and I'm just wondering, number one, what does the current administration here intend to do to help Virginians like me in my circumstances? And number two, is the legislature and the governor's mansion going to review the Medicaid eligibility requirements and expand them, and ideally with the help of the funding that the Obama administration is pledging to the individual states?
Hey, Maureen, thank you for calling in. And it sounds like you've got some tough circumstances there, and I'm very sympathetic to the plight you've described you're in. To me, it reminds me of why we need a new president, because the opportunities for 23 million Americans now have been dimmed considerably because the economy is so bad. Never have we seen in modern history 43 months at 8% unemployment. You said you've been unemployed for 6 months. You know, what I want to do is get you back to work. That's my top priority, is finding ways to create jobs and opportunities for people in Virginia. So that's first and foremost the way to do it, because most people then will be eligible for employer-based health care insurance. So my heart goes out to you with your situation. We're going to continue to try to find ways to expand the economy. We've got the lowest third lowest unemployment rate in the south and east of the Mississippi right now, and we're going to continue to grow. And Northern Virginia is probably the best place to find a job right now. With regard to Medicaid eligibility, I appreciate that question, because let me quote President Obama from 2009, and it's just a paraphrase: expanding Medicaid without fixing the system is not responsible. Now, that was President Obama 3 years ago. He's singing a different tune today, and I agree with him. Medicaid is killing every budget of every governor in every state, because it has grown astronomically with limited flexibility, limited opportunity for cost controls at the state level, dramatic rigidity at the federal level with maintenance of effort, maintenance of eligibility standards. And so the Supreme Court gave the opportunity now with their most recent decisions to not have penalties for refusing to expand Medicaid. And I would say that Medicaid expansion without dramatic changes in the program and eligibility, so that we can curtail and find creative ways to spend that money, is not responsible. Just to give you an example, we've gone from 5% of the budget to 20% of the budget now consumed by Medicaid in 30 years. It's grown 1,600%. And we just can't continue that path for the taxpayers of Virginia. So we've got to find ways to have a good safety net, but have more flexibility. So I'm hoping the Obama administration will pay attention. I wrote them a letter a couple months ago. They basically blew me off and won't give us a good answer on how we're going to work together to have a better safety net and not just have a blank check. So I hope we can get a good economy to find you a good job. But I'm telling you, as long as we have these oppressive federal policies, it's going to be hard to create a good economy in Virginia.
Governor, let me ask you, there was a recent article in the Washington Post that noted from census data that poverty in several counties in Northern Virginia actually has gone up.
Yes.
in the past year. As good as you're doing creating jobs and the economy is growing in Virginia, why are we seeing this poverty spike in Virginia?
Well, we're seeing it all over the country. We're at the highest level of food stamps that we've been at, I think, in American history. We have the least number of entrepreneurs in 30 years. We've doubled gas prices. We've got 23 million people that can't find work. We've got the highest level of debt and going broke the way of Greece fast. Mark, it should tell most Virginians that, look, the president's tried. He didn't create the problem, but he's made it far worse. And his policies just are not working. Great speech doesn't mean great policy. We've dramatically need a change. If somebody knows how to turn things around and knows how to create jobs, that's what Mitt Romney's done for 30 years. And so this class warfare the president continues to engage in may sound good, but it's not good for the American people. And I think that's why we've got the mess. We need a dramatic change of direction with job-creating policies. And I can tell you, the people of Virginia and me personally, I see what this administration is doing, and it's hard to continue to create good jobs when we've got these oppressive federal policies.
Governor, in our final seconds, we want to acknowledge that your alma mater, Notre Dame, bestowed upon you the John Kavanaugh Award. Congratulations.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
And welcome to the ACC. Your thoughts on joining the ranks of the University of Virginia and the University of Maryland. In the ACC, except for football. Are you afraid of football? Is that
no, no. Well, we're already playing four ACC teams this year. The agreement is to add one more next year, so about half the schedule is going to be ACC. ACC is a wonderful conference, perhaps the best academic conference in America. Marvelous schools like the ones you've mentioned, your Terps, our Cavaliers. It's a great home for Notre Dame. The Big East was sort of crumbling anyway, where they've been a member of in basketball and other sports. And this is a great conference for sports like lacrosse and soccer, ones that Notre Dame's good at, and I'm really delighted. And now I get to see my Fighting Irish play a little bit more closer to home, so I think that's good.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, we appreciate you coming in every month.
Okay, Mark, thanks.
Go Terps.